back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another week of football, another week of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be in Timonium, as the coach would say. We're going to be at Cooper's North with my pal Patrick Russell. I'm going to be eating the gumbo because that's what I do when I'm up at Cooper's North. We'll be there from 2 to 5 on Friday, celebrating our friends from Goodwill, our friends at Window Nation, as well as the Restaurant Association of Maryland, encouraging everybody to get out and eat. This is the big week out there. I'm going to have some Raven scratch offs on Friday from the Maryland Lottery as well. I love my sponsors. It goes without saying. I have a lot of relationships with sponsors and friendships where business ties to pleasure and events and family and things and tragedies and keeping each other afloat in various ways. So it comes to me this week that my pal Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global had a celebration, and they didn't play cool in the gang. The music was much more yacht rock than that.
There you go.
But Leonard Raskin joins us now. Big weekend, right? I mean, you went to the game Sunday, right? So you see a lot of clients and friends. But Saturday night was really a beautiful thing. You invited me and my wife. We were honored to be there. It was in the Cockeysville area, and it was like a legitimate crab feast. So as much as I do the crab cake tour, you serve crabs to everybody you know and love. And I just want to give you the shout out of all shout outs, because a lot of us get bonbons. I'm cleaning out a closet full of stuff for Goodwill, my sponsor, of stuff that people give me that I don't want, that I'll never use again. Dude, you knocked it out of the park with this thing. You're listening on the radio. It is a crab mallet that actually serves. We're always missing this. We can never find the bottle opener on these damn imported beers and these local beers, these craft beers that they feel like they bottle somewhere, that you have to have one of these. So congratulations on all the years. I'm not here to smooch you up, but just to tell you, this is the best parting gift I've had, I don't know, since probably Jeff Moeller's wedding 20 years ago.
There we go. Well, thank you. We enjoyed the event. We enjoyed having you and Jen out there. Yeah, so crab mallet with one end crab hammer, the other end bottle opener.
There it is right there. You can see that. That's a bottle opener, and it has your name on it. And you had to like go to great – there's a patent on this, speaking of business and the things that you do.
There's a crazy patent on bottle opener crab mallets, and apparently this one company has it. They won't release it. Other people can't make it. I guess somebody could steal it, but if they caught them, they'd sue them. So we had to wait because they were out of stock. They couldn't get all the metal piecing that they needed to do the mallets properly. So we were hoping we'd get them in time. And sure enough, literally, Monday night, they were delivered by UPS. And the event was Saturday night. So we were just fingers crossed that they would get here.
Were you like a kid when you saw the box and you pulled it out? You're like, oh, look at that, man. It's awesome.
It was outstanding. They were better than they looked like on the internet. Well, better than they looked.
And they're crabs. Fantastic. And crabs are delicious, by the way.
Great crabs. Great food. People.
What a wild – I want you – because we're going to talk football, bro. And
yeah.
Talk about Raskin
sure.
Global and the American dream and money. We do that every week. And so a little bit of tax advice here and again, or real estate advice or estate advice. But more than anything, I was not astonished, because I'm never shocked by much, but I got to meet your family, like – sisters, uncles, your mother, but more, that was great. That was cool.
Yep.
Then I sat with all these other people that all different wild walks of life, and doctors and people, and Ukrainian people at my table, at table 11. I sat at table 11 for Luis Aparicio. Don't ask me why.
I just
walked in there and I said, we're going to sit at 11. I don't know why. And I said to my wife, turn it up to 11, you know? So
there
we sat
go.
There and we had the wildest mix of nice, wonderful Mike and Rachel. We just have Sergey. We have wonderful people with us. So that's off to you. You've collected some beautiful people, dude.
Well, you know, that's a really cool statement. And I thank you for that, but that's what the practice is about. You know, one of the things in our mission, you know, is to empower people to choose their financial future. So we attract great people. And one of the things that we do purposefully is we make sure that the people that we work with are people that I would invite, or that our team would invite, to their homes to have dinner. If I don't want to spend time with you, you shouldn't be a client of our practice, because we spend a lifetime together. As you may have noticed looking around, there were some people that had a hell of a lot more gray hair than me. We counted in the room 4 walkers, and we're not the pepper mill.
Hey, by the way, hold on, dude. My wife and I went by the pepper mill the other day.
Yeah.
When I looked it up, It said
God's waiting room
and crab cakes. They have a
there
crab
you go.
Cake. Do I need to get to the pepper mill for a crab cake?
Sure, of course. We joke about that it's God's waiting room. You know, that's just it's like reputation, but it's a great place. They got great food.
They got a new display out on York Road. My wife saw it. It had the roasted pork loin the other night, and we're thinking, let's do it, you know?
So you got to do it. So anyway, we had four walkers in attendance. We had a couple crutches. We had some people that are infirm, but we have people there also in that room that are second and third generation clients that we work with. So we work with people, and we work with people, as you said, from all walks of life. You met some IT folks. You met some people that own their own companies. You have people that are doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, and everything in between. So we work with a great mix of people. And every day in my business is a different day, because I could be working with somebody who owns a company in the morning and a receptionist at some other company in the afternoon. We don't discriminate as to who we work with. And I was on the phone with a guy earlier today, and he said, tell me about your politics. It's kind of weird because people ask me that occasionally, not often. And I said, money.
I do my best to avoid that conversation.
Well, here's what he asked me. He said, you know, I want to know who's going to be my advisor. And I said, look, dude, money isn't blue or red. Money is green. And what I'm about is helping you better handle your money. And if you want that, which side of the aisle I lay on is irrelevant to you, unless it's relevant to you. And if it is, then I'm happy to tell you, but I don't know why it matters. And he said, you're right. You know, I'll judge you based on how you handle my wealth and how you handle my family. And I've never had a person that we've worked with on either side of the aisle bring that up early. I've had people in the past that have made a decision to work with us or not work with us because of some things I've done or said. I get that. And I honor the people that make the decision that theirs and mine don't align, and therefore they want a different advisor. Help them find somebody else. But we're about green. We're about helping you create, as you know, your American dream and have great financial success with your family. And that's what we do for people. And we had a great event Saturday night, Crab Feast, with all the trimmings and all the sides and all the fixings. And I don't eat crabs without ice cream.
Inspirational stories. And I know you sort of do that purposefully, but not intentionally and not in, I don't know. It was just a beautiful night. I mean, my wife and I wore casual clothes because it was a crab feast.
Absolutely.
So I thought to myself, like, I got nice shirts. I could wear something nice, but I'm going to be cracking crabs. I only want to get so dressed up when I do
that. That's right. I was wearing shorts.
You know, it a little chilly, you know, I mean, that's the way we roll. But like it was very casual, but more
Absolutely.
Than that, the stories that were told, you know, my wife's been through this incredibly inspirational thing, and so many other people, your wife as well, and trying to say, hey, something awful happened to me. Let's make sure the next person it happens to, we can make it better for that person, because it's going to happen eventually, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things we do when we put on these events is we always try to raise money for charities we care about. So we had three great charities there that we raised some money for. And the idea is that these things touch close to home. They're personal stories that people that have illnesses. And our goal is to help somebody who may have a similar illness issue concern, but not the financial wherewithal to pull through that. We heard a story about a gal who had cancer, as you heard, had pancreatic cancer and needed chemo and couldn't get the chemo because she couldn't get dental work done that was necessary to do the chemo for short of $300. And we don't live in a world where $300 to be able to make a life and death decision is possible, but yet we do. And people around us do. And so we raised a bunch of money to go to charity. We're going to continue to raise money through the end of September to go to three charities that we had there and some people that told some compelling stories about their life and health. And we're hoping to raise, you know, $20,000+ for three great local charities that somebody out there needs $300 to get great health care. And we want to be the one to help them provide it. So
I'll
yeah,
say this, man.
About.
Like, I mean, your event wasn't for, it was for your clients. It was an inside thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't any sort of come on or any sort of weird thing like that at all.
No.
But your work with Mount Washington Pediatric, and I'll be honest, I mean, you dragged me out on a golf course last year. I had a great day out there. Shirley and I hung out. We did hole in one. I got to hang out with everybody, Democrats, Republicans, beautiful day. It was during the plague.
Yeah.
It
right.
was like, we actually, it was near people. It was the first thing I went out and was with people your day to do that. But it, I didn't learn as much as I did eating crabs in silence and having people tell these stories while you're eating crabs. And
that's
it's,
right.
it's not like ding, ding, ding at a dinner party. The way you did it, like I sat there and I'm eating the crabs and I'm picking. And you know how you are, you're picking. I mean, I got your mallet. I'm picking. I'm drinking. And like you start listening to these stories, it, crab feasts are a great engagement tool.
Absolutely.
I would just say when you're sitting there eating crabs, you'll shut up for a while, you know, picking crabs and feeding your face while you listen to something and learn. I did not know about Mount Washington Pediatric, about the services and after trauma and you know, just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Leonard Raskin's my guest. He is always around at Raskin Global, managing money, our money and the financial future for my family as well as others. And just in this last year, trying to get organized, I can promise you it's a big pain in the ass. Leonard, tell him it's pain in the ass. It is, right?
It is. Organized. It's hard. It's hard work. Look, if creating, managing, and making sure your wealth is moving in the direction that you want it and doing the things that you want to do with it, it's unless you are a really organized person, you come to the table with all those skills, you got to put all this stuff together. We don't just look at your investments. We don't just look at your taxes. We look at your insurance, your investment, your taxes, your real estate, your business interests, debt service that you have, everything and anything you've got going on financially, we dissect it. And some people have told me it's just about as rigorous as getting ready for a colonoscopy. So we say,
you know, I'm not ready for that yet, but I am 53. So Dr. Sigmund will be yelling at me, you know, sometimes.
You better do it. You better do it.
Well,
that's
listen,
a critical
man,
do.
You and I, we go back and forth on money. If you need Leonard Raskin Global, go find him. But more than that, you had a sports experience too this weekend, right? I mean, and I signed some books for some folks at your event on Saturday. Beautiful. I just, everybody was so nice. It was just, it was a wonderful, I haven't had that many nice nights. I mean, I've been treated rotten at various points, but treating up more than that, the game Sunday, you went back, you sort of bled me out last week about your vibe, about the Ravens and the knee in London. We went all through that, but you went back. Were you not entertained?
Oh, I was entertained for three quarters. The only thing that was entertaining about the game Sunday to me was that Joe Flacco threw four touchdowns, beat the Browns, that the Steelers lost, and that later, I call him a scrub. I shouldn't. He's a professional athlete. He's a pro football player. Dallas Cowboys beat the Cincinnati Bengals and sacked Joe Burrow like a half a dozen times. So the only good news out of yesterday was everyone in our division lost. But boy, what a commanding lead we would have had if we'd have just held on to a lead for a quarter. And so I was there, and there were a couple things that disturbed me about the game besides the fourth quarter. So let me ask you this, because you're the eagle eye of football relative to this. And I didn't get a chance to watch any replays or film, and this probably will never be shown, but there was a big play on third down and goal where I thought Lamar Jackson scored a touchdown. And hours later, hours later, they said he was short, which I couldn't believe. At least from my viewpoint, it seemed impossible that his upper torso could have ended up in the end zone and the ball not been with it.
His knee went down earlier, pretty much. He curled.
It took them forever to figure that out. Forever. Okay, so that was
I'm just saying, as a guy watching it on TV.
I get it. I couldn't tell. Everybody in the stadium, besides being biased.
Well, Gesicki in the back of the end zone, his foot dragged.
Also, he was out of bounds, wasn't he?
No, he was very much in bounds.
Was he in bounds on that catch?
Yes, very much so. His foot went down.
Okay, so then let's take those two things, and let's take those two things away. We blew it. Flat out blew it. Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, the fastest man in the NFL, I think, unless somebody's passed him lately. How the heck does he get 30 yards behind your defense and just wave his arms? I'm open. Yeah, no bull. That defense. The other thing that I do know is,
well,
the end of the game,
communication of backups playing, Leonard. You mean
that's
really the story?
Yeah, bad. And time of possession, man. That defense was on that field a long time. When the fourth quarter came, it was hot. It was 89 degrees out there, and they're wearing full uniforms, helmets. They were dying. We scored, but we scored really fast. The one thing I noticed was we were scoring fast until the fourth quarter. They weren't moving much, but our defense was out there a long time. And then suddenly, they weren't just out there a long time. They forgot how to play. And then, boom, boom goes the dynamite. And Tua looked like the second coming of Bob Greasy. Tua looked amazing, and our defense looked like they were peewee ball. And then it was over. And as they were scoring to make it, was it 35-28? I said to my wife, we're losing this game. We're going to lose this game.
Well, then Lamar threw the ball to Xavier Howard and hit him between the two and five, right?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I want to tell a story.
I haven't told this one, right? So, and I don't know that I've ever told this one on the radio. Did you know that I did a television show with Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan?
No.
Okay. No. So in 1997, I did a show with Mike Warren, local tout, who was collecting the Eddie Murray baseballs and all that stuff back then, right? So okay. He also had a piece of the hotel that's down on Pier 5. But Mike Warren did a TV gambling wagering show. He had like this whole thing with a Bronx Tale, and Eddie the Mush was a part of it. It was like but I was the host of the show, right? And I guess It was sort of like Johnny Bravo, like the suit fit, you know?
Yeah.
You can go to YouTube and you can see these videos. Buddy loved me. This is before I knew Rex. Rex was coaching in Oklahoma, and Buddy would say, "Oh, my boys are going to be good coaches now." And Buddy loved me, and we did this show for 20 weeks, beginning in August. I did it through the playoffs, and we shot it at Sheffield Studios in 1997, the season of 1997. So I'm 29 years old. I did not have WNST yet. I was just on WLG at the time. We didn't get NST till 98. So Lawrence Taylor would come down from Saddle River, New Jersey. Sometimes there was an entourage. It was something. Lawrence had some issues. You know, Lawrence had some things going on. But Lawrence loved me, right? Lawrence would always tell this story about the Florida players being more in shape to play in September and more broken down because they can't keep weight on in December. And this was a story he would tell me over bagels and coffee.
We would
always get there early and have a little rehearsal. And like, I spent the day with Lawrence, you know, I spent 20 afternoons with Lawrence Taylor in a pre-production studio for 4 hours.
Sure.
And they just talked about football and life, but he would always talk about that. And I think in the game on Sunday, as it relates to me 25 years later, telling a crazy Lawrence Taylor story, is that when our players, especially Peters and guys that weren't out there and fit, when our Owas and when Justin Houston's out there, Justin Houston, first 20 plays look like a relief pitcher you didn't want to see. And then the last 20 plays on a 90-degree day, there was a different level of fatigue.
Benitez. Wasn't it Benitez?
Armando Benitez. Yes, you're
right.
You're going back 25 years as well. That was 97,
too. Who gave up the home runs to Cleveland in the playoffs, and
absolutely,
we lost.
So I would just say the fitness and your point about 90 degrees, but more than that, pitch count, right?
Yeah.
These defensive players – playing 40, 50, 60, 70 snaps,
every snap
in the case of Chuck Carr, Marlon Humphrey broken down. They were a different unit on the field
in the fourth quarter
than they were.
And
in
what
the first
happened? What? So beyond that, where's J.K. Dobbins?
Well,
I thought he was
ready
pregame. They said he wasn't ready. He said he was ready to play. I guess they know better than him. But we have nothing. We have nothing. How many yards rushing did we have besides Lamar? Which, he was fantastic. My goodness, did he throw that ball like an MVP? And did he, you know, I was talking again to my wife and the people that we sit around at the game and just saying, he's going to do a somersault. And there he does. At the end of that run,
he looked back. He's going to flip.
Well, he had to get away from that guy. But I did notice he didn't leap as high in the air and come down on his tailbone. He just did kind of a, you know, 10-year-old somersault in the end zone, which was much calmer and much better. I'm all for that kind of somersault. Although, you know, it was great. But other than that and him running around, I didn't see Pat Ricard get too many balls. I didn't see anybody get too many balls. And I'm thinking when we had first and goal in the one,
Bateman was on fire early in the game and Andrews was fine too.
I'm talking about running.
No, I mean
running the ball. We went on third and fourth and one with Lamar. We went on third and fourth and goal with Lamar.
Well, you can't get a yard on fourth down. That's a problem. And more than that.
Yeah, but when you go up the middle with the skinniest guy and on fourth and one with 10, 11 guys in the box, don't you need somebody who can? Why didn't Lamar, I'm not an offensive coach. I don't know football like these guys do. They get paid to coach. But doesn't Lamar go around the end better than he goes up the middle on a fourth and one with 11 guys in the box? Did I miss something in my day of school?
Well, Lamar,
Justin Fields
read the play and went 79 yards. So, I mean.
No, I get it. Look, I get it, but on fourth and goal at the one, third and goal at the one, I'm just thinking, maybe you go outside. I mean, how open were Pat Ricard and my goodness, why am I blanking on
Andrews?
Andrews, yeah, on that play, how open were they? And that was easy, and yet we tried three times from the one with Lamar up the middle. I don't know. Again, I'm not a coach, but oh, the disappointment, the utter disappointment of that loss. After being up, and my son's texting me, Daddy, what's the score? I sent him the score. He's like, you could leave. They won. I said, dude, it ain't anywhere close to over. Up 21 going into the fourth quarter. But look, Sunday had a spew of ridiculous comebacks, right? Joe Flacco, 2 touchdowns in 50 seconds. The Cardinals, an amazing comeback for the Cardinals at the end of the game. And a win in overtime on a fumble against the wherever the heck they are this year, Raiders.
Vegas,
amazing.
So far.
No, I know Vegas, but there's some amazing comebacks on Sunday. So it's hey, I guess that's what they say. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, and she wasn't singing too good yesterday.
That's entertainment, as they say. Yeah. Leonard Raskin gave me a crab mallet for the ages with the bottle opener on it to make all of my summers bright. You know, my wife and I, we haven't been invited to a crab feast in a long time. We went and got our mallets out. Someone had made me a mallet. A dear friend of mine made me a mallet and had my name on it. And then, but I have my childhood mallet that my parents got at Stewart's. At East Point Mall back in the early 70s, maybe late 60s, and they have the little crab on it. And these are the same crab mallets my mother used, right?
So we got
the mallets out. My wife's like, I'm getting the mallets out. We're going to a crab feast. I'm like, oh, get my monogram mallet out.
That's right.
And as it turns out, we forgot them, left them on the kitchen counter. And the first thing we saw when we checked into the Valley with you was you were handing us these. So they do come in handy.
Beautiful crab mallets for just the occasion.
Tell everybody how to get in touch with you if they need any advice or they got money
things or money issues. Offensive running play advice because I'm not the guy. But yeah, money stuff. RaskinGlobal.com, LRaskin@RaskinGlobal.com, Facebook.com/RaskinGlobal, LinkedIn.com/LeonardRaskin. You'll find us out there.
You can bother me and I'll send you the
Or bother Ness and he'll find us, but we help everybody do anything money. We raise great money for charity. We go to football games occasionally, and we have a great time with the people that we care about, and they care about us.
Did you have a good time at the game?
Yeah, it was hot.
Okay.
I sit in the sun, so it was hot.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a good time. We did a little tailgating with some friends I haven't seen in about 4 years in that kind of place. And so we did a little tailgating. Then we did some good football game lemonade and
special lemonade.
Watch the game and then went home disappointed. The good news was the Orioles came back in the ninth
and still alive for at least a couple more days.
In the division lost.
As much as I would say you brought people together Saturday at your event and celebrating 35 years. What I saw on social media Sunday, being on the outside, right? I mean, for the first time in my life, I'm like sitting here watching on TV, and I'll get used to it. You know, life will go on, I guess. It's wrong. I went through that last week. It'll always be wrong for me and unwarranted. But watching it and seeing social media, the feeling I had on social media was people getting together with friends and going to a game that hadn't done it in a long time.
Absolutely.
Because of the plague or something that happened before the plague or whatever.
Place was rocking.
Opening day or whatever it is.
Place was packed and rocking. It was good stuff.
Good. Leonard, you can find Leonard Raskin at Raskin Global. You can also find him at the front of Baltimore Positive as we migrate our new website, put some new skins together, put together new cartoon figures and fun things out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. In the meantime, same great content. It's all up there. You can listen live. We get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Cooper's North. I'm just going for the gumbo. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, cracking crabs, opening beer, visiting breweries, and having fun. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.